And we're back on Dave's Gone By here on this 500th episode on this March 7th, 2015. Thank you so much to Yoni Hootenanny for telling us all about how to use caulk, ladies and gentlemen, here in the neighborhood. Giggling in the background, amazingly enough, are two people that I know fairly reasonably well. I've known them longer than anybody else I've ever known in my entire life. They are, in fact, my parents, Mom and Dad Lefkowitz. Yay! Hello, Mom and Dad.
Yay!
And there was much rejoicing.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, son.
Hi, oh, so you are both there.
We just wanted to wish you Mazel Tov on the 500th anniversary, and here's to the next 500th and one.
You don't look a day over 400.
Well, thank you. I eat a lot of greens. That really helps. Yeah. Mazel tov, by the way, to the family. I have a new niece or something like that?
Yes. Her name is...
I think it's Avery, isn't it? I know this and you don't know this. Avery something.
Avery Taylor. Yeah, Avery Taylor.
How can they pick such a goyish name? Avery Taylor... what's his last name? It's not Pink Cow. No. It wouldn't be Pink Cow. It would be
It's Adams.
Oh, it's Adams. I'm sorry. I keep thinking it's Stephanie's. Whoops. No, Marnie just had one. Yeah.
Marnie had the, and Stephanie is due in June.
Oh, okay. Oops, so I think I congratulated Bonnie when I meant to congratulate. Well, it still would be congratulating Bonnie. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt.
So,
congratulations are always good.
Yeah.
And you, okay, and again, congratulations to you. And his dad, wants to say hello too.
But thank you.
My love to everybody.
Well, first of all, Mom, thank you for calling. You know, I know you don't like to be on the radio. I know, and you're always worried I'll say something untoward. But thank you for calling in. And Dad, how are you doing? I'm great. How's it going, man?
All right.
Yeah. What's new?
Complain.
Good. Good. Thank God. You're feeling healthy? You're feeling well?
Oh, yeah.
What I miss...
We have the new addition to the family.
I got to tell you, I miss the days on some level. I mean, I love being here at this station. I love doing my Saturday morning show. But one of the only things I miss about being back on that late-night Long Island show was Jeff Goodman and I would be on the air. We would do our regular show until about midnight or so. And then we would get on there and just shoot the bull and have fun and play music. And you would call in at like 12:30 in the morning, because no one else would. And then we would shoot the breeze with you for like an hour until you were like, okay, I gotta go to sleep. But I missed that. I loved that. You know, that was one of my favorite things. You know. So, do you have not to put you on the spot, but do you have a favorite memory or anything about the radio show?
About the radio show?
Yeah. Well, about me, you've got all those stories about when I was a child doing horrible things. But what about the actual Dave's Gone By program?
I hadn't thought about it at the moment, but let me scan the memory bank.
Yeah.
Yeah, really coming up at the.
Ladies, 12 and a half years of my radio show, I asked my dad, does he have anything that he liked about it? He's like, it's all gone.
Well, I like to prepare.
I put you on the spot, but. I don't know. What would you like to talk about for like a minute or two, Dad? What's on your mind these days? Yeah.
The family is. I think we got a lot to be thankful for.
All of I. Yeah, that is true.
And now that it's Thanksgiving.
What?
Not exactly, but.
Well, actually, we were very thankful.
I'm reaching.
Yeah. No, continue.
I say I'm reaching, but...
Oh, you're reaching? Oh, yeah. No, because technically, we were very thankful this week. It was the holiday of Purim, so that's a very happy...
That's right.
Jews are very thankful on that holiday. And you've been very proud of me. I was the narrator in our local temple's Purim spiel that they had.
Attaboy.
Which is
I don't have to ask if you had Hamantaschen.
Oh yes, the most delicious array of Hamantaschen. If I tell everybody, we didn't bake Joyce and I, but other people baked and they brought in. And if I tell you all these different kinds, oh my God, one was better than, except for, there's one that Joyce really liked that I couldn't deal with that was made of more like bread dough than the cookie dough-ish stuff that they use. And that was
what's wrong with that?
I thought it would be good, but it wasn't sweet enough for me. You know, if I want a hamantaschen, I want a little bit of the sweet, not just the prune.
I love the consistency of the dough.
Oh, yes. Yes. So, and it's just... It's
fabulous.
Well, you used to love those Chinese cookies, too. Hmm?
I prefer the apricot.
Really?
Yeah.
I think your intestines prefer
or
the prune.
Or cherry.
Yeah. Oh, they didn't do cherry. They just had prune and apricot. Less. And they didn't have chocolate, which was the only minor disappointment. But the rabbi, our rabbi, Sarah, I had joked about this, because she had asked me to officiate, as it were, to be the narrator of the Purim play, of the Purim spiel, because I did it last year, and nobody complained too much, and nobody else wanted to do it, so... So she's like, Dave, come, please do it again.
Praise indeed. Nobody complained too much.
There was a little complaining, but not a little. So she said, would you do it again? I said, oh, sure, but obviously, you know, I want a bowl of M&Ms in my trailer and, you know, just the green ones. Because, you know, I have demands. And wouldn't you know...
Well, you do have to have standards, I mean.
Me? When have I ever had standards, Dad? Ever.
Yeah, you're right.
But would you believe that at the end of the evening, she actually presented me with a bag full of green M&Ms?
Where did you get it?
That was the thing. And it wasn't like she went through another bag and picked up all these green ones by hand, which would be really disgusting. No, she probably found them at some party store in Denver or something. But the fact that she went out of her way to go and I was making a joke. Just to say, hey, you know, I'm entitled. I want my special water in my trailer and stuff. And she went and did that. That was, yeah, that was aces with me. That was nice. So, and I didn't
That's
offend
nice
anybody
memory.
Too badly yesterday either. I tried to, but I didn't. Well, no, what happened was...
I'm just as crazy as ever.
Well, do you know what a narwhal is, Dad?
What?
I guess not. A narwhal.
A narwhal?
Yeah.
It's kind of a whale, isn't it?
Very good. It's sort of a cross between a whale and a manatee, but it's got this long horn on its head. But it's not really a horn. It's actually a tusk that grows up from its tooth that just goes through its head. And then it swims
did
like
I
that.
Did I disappoint you by knowing that?
No, you did not. I am thrilled that you know what that is. Honest to gosh.
Where are you going to send my car?
I'll send you your green M&Ms, Dad. It'll be filled with apricot. Apricot M&Ms, I wonder. So anyway, I was going to go, or I should say Rabbi Saul was going to go as a narwhal. So we got this special costume for him, which was essentially a pantyhose over a tube from paper towels. With some cotton stuffed into it. And he was going to wear this on his
You're
head.
You're a sick human being, my yeah. son.
Well, no. It was his special narwhal horn. And we drew striations
right.
on it. And it didn't... It apparently, according to most people, it did not look like a narwhal horn. This long object...
Did you go to your local narwhal expert and ask him?
Oh, if only I'd known. The narwhal expert is in Denver. And just too far away. But the rabbi was kind of worried that children would see that thing on the rabbi's head and think that it wasn't a narwhal. It kind of looked like something else. So, needless to say, he didn't wear that very long. So
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, it's the very phallic narwhal horn, which we now have ensconced at the radio station for this special episode of the show. So it will live in infamy for the few people who saw it. Rabbi thought it was funny. So I'm doing all the talking, Dad. Yeah. Tell me something else before we have to go do more stuff. And I've got Sam Wood calling back. Sam is was the former programming director, general manager here at UNC Radio. He's calling from wherever he is on duty. He's in the Air Force, by the way. So you have stuff in common.
Hmm?
The guy who was the general manager here is now in the Air Force.
As what?
Well, he's... I don't know if he didn't go in as a private necessarily because he had the 4 years of education already, so they already give you an extra stripe the minute you go in. But I forget, I don't know what that makes him.
Well, when you say an extra stripe, you mean he had two stripes?
Yeah.
Or one stripe?
Well,
one stripe, he's an airman third.
Yeah.
And when you first come in, you have no stripes. So that's an airman basic. Then you get one stripe, that's an airman third. And from there, two stripes, three stripes. I got four stripes by the time I left.
Whoa.
Which is the equivalent of a staff sergeant.
No, but those were stripes across your ass from the other airmen whipping you. Those are very different things.
That's only if they really like you.
Exactly, dude. So what's your... What is your favorite all-time story from when you were in the Air Force, Dad?
Let's think. Well, let's see.
Or your second all-time favorite there.
was getting the... going to our Christmas party, and you know that cousin Bruce was in my unit, and he showed up with a whole bunch of rock and roll bands, and one of them was the Tokens.
Oh wow. Oh, so Cousin Brucey.
Sleeps the night?
Yeah. Oh, you said Cousin Bruce.
And it was wonderful. And they had other groups, too. He put on, really made a nice show.
That's so cool. And this would have been, they were already almost an oldies act by that time, because this was not like late 1950s. This was 1964, 5 area? When would this have been?
Well, let's see. I was in the service from 61 to 60. Seven.
Wow.
So this would have been around 61, 60, no, let's say around 63, when rock and roll was really hot.
Yeah. Well, 63 is when the Beatles hit, and that changed rock and roll. That's when people stopped listening, presumably, to the Tokens and the Five Satins and the Moon Glows and whoever else were
about. What was that group?
Which one?
The cockroaches, did you say?
Hey, I just had Dr. Demento on, and I forgot to ask about the cockroach that ate Cincinnati. We both remember that one.
Right. But, we had a wonderful time there. When we weren't being threatened.
Well, with being
every
shipped...
Every year.
Yeah.
I don't know, you couldn't remember this, but every year... When we went on our two-week active duty tour in the summer,
mm-hmm.
It would coincide with some kind of a threat in the world, and the commanding officer, would be telling us, it doesn't look good, I think they're going to call us up. Because he didn't want to go anymore.
Isn't it great to have a commanding officer like that? You know. Someone who isn't gung-ho on shipping.
When I first got in, we had a general, a one-star general in charge of the hospital unit. And he only wanted to go on active duty. So every time something broke out in the world, he would run to Washington and yell, take my boys, take my boys. And they would pat him on the head and say, thank you, General. We know where you are, and if we need you, we'll call you.
And then, thank goodness, you got another general who... You know.
And then, they kicked him upstairs. They gave him a second star.
Mm.
And he was replaced by a colonel. Colonel Metzger. And... he was honest as can be. He said to us, I don't want to go any more than you do. Hmm. He said, but if we got to go, we got to go. And so we held our breath. And year after year, it was the same thing. Every summer, when we were on active duty, something would break out somewhere in the world.
And
then
worried.
Finally,
yeah.
When my six-year enlistment was up, the lieutenant colonel comes to me and said, you really ought to consider re-enlisting for another term because you got the possibility of advancement. Your friend Tony is here. He'll be here for at least another year. And he made a pitch. You get away from your family for a while.
Yeah, that's right. You could have gotten away from me for a few months, yeah.
And I said, oh, yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. But, you know, I can't make a decision like that on my own. I got to talk it over with my wife. And I get home, and I didn't even bring it up with her. He told Tony, who was in the same unit, to talk me into staying.
Yeah.
Re-enlisting.
And Tony said...
So Tony... Huh?
And Tony said...
Tony said, run!
Yeah.
Run!
Can I ask you, did you get, keep an, other than Tony, who has remained your best friend for life, have you kept in touch with anybody else
from the unit?
From the unit, any of them?
Not really.
I mean, in this day and age of Facebook and everything else, you don't even, you know, anybody you check on or see that they're still alive, that they're married, their kids are dead, they're whatever.
My friend Lenny from high school and college and the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And he was the one. Yeah. He was the one who, with his father and his brother, took me to the track for the first time.
Oh.
And I get a ticket on this horse. I'll never forget, Green Tree Express.
Okay.
So the race is run. Green Tree Express wins.
Ooh.
Pays something like $42.80 to win.
And
at the end of the race, he didn't know where I had. And I'm holding up the ticket. He says, you didn't have that. I says, yeah, take a look.
Yeah.
So naturally, I was hooked.
Oh. Well, Dad, so great to talk to you. I've got Joe Salzone calling in on the other line, so I'm going to thank you so much for giving us a buzz. Love you, lovely. Thank you for all your love and support over the years. Thanks to Mom, too, for calling in. It really means a lot.
Ditto and backwards, and my regards home.
Thank you. Love you. Bye-bye now.